Thank you. So I think Kirsten was throwing the ball to me to say, if we did start, you know, with having tipping points or social and societal tipping points as like our first sort of discussion group, where would we start things? I would probably start things with taking a look at what is the status of kind of the international effort in trying to bridge our understandings of physical tipping elements in the climate system and how those are understood, and then also looking at like the social science questions with respect to tipping. I did have a couple of side conversations with people where I knew I was asking questions at sort of this global governance, sort of geopolitics sort of scale, where you really don't see this kind of modeling happening. But then there are others who are here who are actually looking at these questions from like an agent-based modeling perspective. They're looking at like at the community level, maybe even like landscape level, still like it sounded like those of us who are working with agent-based models perhaps are looking at levels that are much smaller than kind of like the geopolitical levels. So I guess that maybe is like one of the things that would be important to appreciate with respect to one of the challenges in social tipping research is that a lot of the social science dynamics, if you will, are pretty different across scales. And so that's, you know, part of what makes it hard to figure out exactly what's the best way to approach it. I'd have to think a little bit more, Kirsten, about what would be like a, you know, good first paper to start with. But I do completely support this idea of continuing to have these conversations, partially because what I really appreciated about hearing from those of you who are working here at PI or, you know, other colleagues in the, you know, mathematics department at Waterloo. Yes, I want to echo what Sean was saying. It is, there are so many different mathematical tools. And so in terms of just trying to bring like these different communities together, especially where I feel like I've been interacting a lot with communities that don't usually use those kinds of mathematical tools, trying to explain the relevance and demonstrate the relevance of those tools is something that I'm very interested in. So I think I'll leave it there for at least kind of my first take on sort of where I think it would be interesting to start some kind of like discussion group slash paper reading group around social tipping. Is there anybody else who is feeling inspired and would like to say something? Yeah, Frances, come on up.
Thank you, Vanessa. So nothing terribly new to add, but just some thoughts on the nice statements that were said just now. First of all, in terms of Kirsten's point of view, in terms of the fact that there are a lot of people doing a lot of different things, that is very true, and that does create a lot of diversity. But in terms of a first attempt, I think trying to find out the behavior of the mean is hard enough. And when we can understand that, then we could add some levels of complexity to figure out how is the variance changing in time. So these are things to think about in terms of what Sean was saying. Yeah, I don't think that we necessarily need to think it's physical or social. I think including these things together in a model is really a very natural thing to do because they are connected in reality. It's very easy to write down a model. Having a way to judge the value and the merit of the model is, I think, the hard part. And I don't think we should be discouraged from putting down models. If we don't try it, we won't know it. But we can put together, say, a dozen models, and we could compare them and see, well, how do they compare? How are they different? And hopefully find some way to validate them using historical data or something else. But I think figuring out a way to judge the merit of the model is something that is hard, but well worth thinking about, because otherwise we don't really know how good it is. That's it. Happy to share the microphone with whomever else cares.
We can perceive things as they are, or we perceive things as we are told to perceive. It's okay, please. I can.
Sure. The question was if we're capable of perceiving things as they are, or only as what we're told to perceive.
That's the.
Yeah, I think we also had a very interesting conversation about just how technology is changing interactions between different people. Whether you spend more time with technology in your everyday life, how that changes your interactions on an emotional level. Well, thank you. Well, thank you for sharing. I also think the people online, Martin and Keith, you had a very intense 1.5 hour discussion. So does either of you want to share a little bit of what you were chatting about?
Okay, well, I can share something. Dominica and Martin and I were discussing is that the training, mathematical and rigorous training you get as, say, a physicist or engineer or scientist, including social science, is very important. And hopefully people who have that type of background will go more into management within private industry and also in government, and hopefully also politics, because we come up with a lot of good ideas, for example, that could be used in climate change. But if we have people in power making the actual decisions and implementing policy, well, then they're more likely to understand what we're giving to them, and therefore will benefit society more quickly. So just an encouragement that people here think about not just doing technical work, either in the physical systems bureau or societal systems, but also thinking about management and getting into positions of influence where you can directly influence society and help these ideas get implemented. Martin, do you want to add that?
Yeah, I'll speak up to that. It's interesting. I've had a career in industry, both public sector and private sector, and I studiously avoided accepting management positions. I didn't want to go that route. Nonetheless, I believe I've had significant influence, and I worked on a great variety of projects, and I became respected in all the organizations I worked in, so that I could influence the people who were making the senior management decisions. So I mean, I could just stop into their office and have a good conversation, I was known well. So that, you know, you don't have to go the management route, but you can become a senior person within an organization and have a lot of influence in doing that. So I think this is very important that we have more very smart people leaving academia and working in what I'll call the real world, if you want, the private sector or the public sector, to help ensure that the right decisions get made. The other thing I'd like to pick up on, which is completely different, there's been discussion around using the methods of theoretical physics and differential equations and modeling and so on. What I haven't heard anything about, and perhaps there was in the discussion that in the atrium that I wasn't part of, AI, deep learning, applying the new computing technologies to pull information, to make sense of data, I think is something that should be considered. What I'm seeing is that yes, there's a lot of misinformation, and the misinformation is based on, you know, on a notion, you know, someone saying, well, you can do this, you can electrify everything, is the nice mantra that I'm hearing. The reality of it is quite different. And I think that, you know, doing an analytical model probably isn't going to take us to where we need to be. Even an agent-based model is not going to take us where we need to be. But there's lots of empirical data out there that needs to be collected and analyzed in a manner that lets the data speak for itself. And I think that's what deep learning is very good for.
Okay, thank you, Martin and Keith. Do we have anyone else online? No, I think that's only the two of you. Yeah, maybe just to comment briefly my thoughts on what people have been saying. Firstly, perhaps the deep learning for climate. I mean, that is indeed not something we commented on today, but it is definitely a huge emerging field. Currently, there's a whole summer school going on, organized by McGill, both online and in person. They're having a huge range of topics covered from AI for governance, for designing energy policies, kind of what you were mentioning, but also actual data analysis for, you know, atmospheric data, et cetera. So there is a lot going on there. And one professor who couldn't make it today because he just traveled home to South America, Juan, he's kind of one of our close connections at PI, at Vector Institute, moving to Zurich, he just knows everything about ML and AI. Vector is the Toronto Institute for AI. So yeah, he's someone we can chat to if we have questions about that. In terms of what you said about teaching policymakers math, that would be an interesting target group for PI to reach out to, I guess. We do a lot of outreach for school kids. I wish Dave was still here in the room. He's our teacher in residence. He designs a lot of our teaching programs, is very involved in, for example, last week, there were many, many teachers who came for a yearly conference that was held here. But all of that is geared more towards children and teachers, which is, of course, very effective to, you know, get them primed early. But policymakers, that would be an interesting new target group to do outreach to. At the same time, bring them all together in the same room. What else? Maybe just one final point of what Kirsten was saying about our working group here at PI and kind of what's the path ahead. Firstly, maybe as a kind of roundabout way of getting to the point, today is my last day at PI. I'm going back home to Europe tomorrow, so I'm very glad this worked. And one reason why I wanted this to happen still was that we are trying to see what the next theme for our climate working group at PI is. For the past 2 years or so, we've just been having regular meetings discussing climate topics with a few interested people at PI, be that from facilities. Facilities has done a great job analyzing geothermal energy options, heat pumps, and so on for PI. So we've got that on the building side. We've been chatting about the teaching resources that our education department is doing. We've been talking about how to make hybrid conferences a bit better for academia, the flying topic, and clearly, well, usually it works well. Usually it does. I just threw out to the group, if you want to have a new theme to pursue going forth, I don't want to impose that. I hope it emerges from your interest. And we've had a couple of folks here today, right? For example, Freddie has been part of our discussions every now and then. So I think from our side, from PI's side, that working group is a like anchor point that has a little bit of budget for, regular lunches. If people are interested in that, we can perhaps set something up and you can come visit us again. And it'll also be part of that Math for Climate network that I had mentioned in the emails that is being built up by Fields Institute. That other workshop at UWaterloo was part of that network. And I'm sure that if you want to, you'll hear a lot more of that network and a lot more funding, a lot more workshops, a lot more lunches and meetings. So I think, to wrap up, I hope you got out of today the main objective, which was just to meet people. There's only so much you can do in one morning, but I think from what I heard, people had a very different morning than they usually do. So that was the intention. And you'll be receiving a feedback form hopefully this afternoon. Let us know what you thought of the theme of, the conversations you had, what can be done better, what should we keep. And thanks again for coming. I had a great last day here. I hope you like PI as much as I did the past 2 years, and thank you.
Thank you so much, Anna, for organizing it.
I'd like to speak up before everything closes and just thank Anna for really being the driving force behind Perimeter's climate initiative. From the moment she arrived, I think she's been working on this. She contacted me when she learned that I had some interest in climate, and so I've been involved in it, even though I've not been physically present at Perimeter over the last 3 years. And I think Anna's really done a wonderful job, and I hope you continue with your success when you go back to Switzerland. So, and then that we
yeah. Also, thank you very much, Anna, Kirsten, and others. Great meeting today.